We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You ready? Today I want to talk to you about the megaphone mentality. The megaphone mentality. We live in a society where everybody has an opinion. I was asked a few months ago. I'd committed to be on this panel that was going to be at a regional event at a church locally, and so it was me and two other ministers, young pastors, and it was just a bunch of hot topic questions. And there was probably 300 plus people in the room. It was an interesting night. And so we're not pitted against each other. We're all coming with the same word. Amen. But how many know it's a touchy world that we live in? And there were some really hard questions that were asked, and we'll get a little bit more into some of those things that came up. But what I can tell you is one of the questions right away was, hey, what do you think millennials, because this was really a youth and young adult movement that was happening, what do you think millennials deal with most? What are some of the struggles that they deal with most? And I'm not going to be speaking a message specifically to millennials. What I know is that the reason they deal with it is because most of the world that was created for us, for the millennials. But what I will tell you is the thing that they deal with most is the opinion issue. The opinion issue. I like to call it the megaphone mentality. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I have feelings. I have opinions, and they run real deep. They're deep. It's this idea that I have this thing that's happening in me, and everyone needs to know about it. It's this broadcast mentality where my opinions, whether right or wrong, they need to be spoken. And the thing that's interesting is there's no generation like what's going on now where the millennials, they have grown up with an immediate platform known as social media. So it has bred the ability to literally just spew any thought, regardless of who it may hurt or what may happen or any of those things. They have this megaphone mentality. But the fact of the matter is, I see this isn't a millennial thing. I see it across the board. When I open up Facebook, I'm going, whoo. When I open up all these social medias, I'm like, you know, just because we have the freedom to say what we want doesn't mean we shouldn't filter what we say. Just because we have the freedom to say what we want doesn't mean we shouldn't filter what we say sometimes. Okay? But what's interesting, I know in the midst of everything going on in this world, there have been a lot of people who have taken some time off. You know, me and Facebook, we just need a break. You know, like when it comes to social media and all the things going on, we just need a break. Why? Because we live in a crazy world. We live in a world that is really the megaphone mentality. And this is what I'm trying to say. We don't any longer live in the information age. We live in the age of opinion. It's not any longer about truth. It's about how I feel. We have truth at our fingertips, as long as our source isn't always Wikipedia. We have truth at our fingertips, but rather than digging for truth, we'll just talk about how we feel. And people are far less concerned about the right information or answer as they are their own feelings towards the topic. That's what I think. And so we have a desire, tell me if I'm wrong, we have a desire to be right. And even more so for others to agree with us. You jump on Facebook, and especially with the politics, it's like you can open up any thread, and all of a sudden you see this huge division. They've drawn sides. You know, it's Bloods and Crips in those rooms. You know, you're scrolling down to see who's a cuz, yo. You know, you're trying to figure out which side, who am I with? Who's my team? It's about who can agree with me because I have feelings. I have feelings. Can you hear me? It hurts so deep. But is it driven by truth? Is it driven by truth? And look at, can there be a singular truth to a matter? And this is rhetorical. After the last 6 to 8 weeks, I'm pretty sure we've talked on this, correct? Like, I'm not trying to play like you don't know. I'm just being rhetorical for a minute. So what actually we know is that truth, by definition, is a singular thing, right? Do you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? So we have a desire to be right and for others to agree with us. And the problem is that oftentimes we jump to conclusion based on our opinions through our point of view or our angle of the situation. And we are quick to speak about them regardless of whether we have fact-checked it, regardless of what the truth may be on it. And so our opinion, the way we feel, is such a reality to us that we can allow it to overshadow the truth of the situation. Number one, if you're taking notes, can I trust what I believe? Can I trust what I believe? You will know if this is true for you, not by the conviction, or if this is true, not if it's true for you. You will know if this is true, not by the conviction of what you believe, but by the examination of how often you look to see if what you really believe lines up with what is inherently true. Right? So I'm not asking what you believe. I'm asking, when's the last time you took what you believed and brought it back to some truth? And just took inventory of what I believe, because how many know we're shaped by our environment? How many know we become, a creature of a culture? We're shaped by things that are happening around us. You know, how many people have ever said, I'm never going to be like my father. Never going to be like my mother. I'm never going to be like that. I'm not going to think of the way of the old neighborhood. I'm not going to think. But the fact of the matter is, unless we combat that with truth, we always fall into the thing that we don't want to be. Right? Because we are creatures of the culture. So what I'm saying is, I'm not talking to you about what you believe. I'm saying, when's the last time you took what you believe to the foot of the cross? I have a sign hanging over my stairs. You know, all my bedrooms are upstairs in my house. And as so it's only one way down. We got stairs. And as you go downstairs, I don't know what you call that wall that you always bang your head on if you're tall. But right there, whatever you call that, I've got this big sign. And the sign says this, it says, we see things not as they really are, but as we are. It's a constant reminder for me to understand the way I see things may be about me and how I see it if I'm not submitting it back to the cross. If I'm not bringing it back to Jesus, if I'm not laying it at his feet, there's a very good chance the way I see things could be tainted. Why? Because we see things as we are, not as they really are. Do you understand? The way I'm thinking, what I'm thinking, beyond what I feel, is it actually right? Can I trust what I believe? And we want our opinion to be heard oftentimes before it's actually proven or validated as even being true or right. Right? And it's just this feeling about being right. I win. I'm right. Well, you might not be right, but you won. Just because you win does not mean you're right. There are a lot of people here that do not like confrontation. You may be the person in the relationship that you choose not to fight any longer because you know it's a losing battle, but just because you lost doesn't mean you weren't right. Isn't that true? You may be the one in the relationship that you fight to the bitter end and you're good at debating. Maybe you would have been a great lawyer in another life, maybe whatever it is, but just because you won doesn't mean you were right. And so, unfortunately, that's why it's hard sometimes for those that are really good at debating, for those that that education has become their god and they're very high intellectually speaking in the level in which they think, because they can talk themselves, they can find a way to win the conversation, but it doesn't mean that they're right. There are a lot of people that are extremely educated that have missed God. They've talked around the God situation and they don't believe in God. And they've won the conversation with all those that they speak with, but it doesn't mean they're right. Do you understand? Would you want someone to agree with you in what you believe if what you believe was actually wrong? Can I trust what I believe? Do I want someone else to agree with me if maybe what I believe isn't right? I remember just a year or so ago, we had a lot of snow, and I was shoveling off my deck and shoveling it into one area. You know, my deck is probably only 8 feet off the ground anyway, and I shoveled up a good 4-foot pile, and it was pretty fluffy. And, my oldest daughter, she walks out, Riley, and she walks out, and I look at her, and I smile. I was like, can I throw you off the deck? And she, started to creep back towards the door she came out of, and she was like, where's mom? you know? And I was like, no, it's cool. Believe me, it'll be cool. There's you'll be okay. And she's sitting here thinking like, can I trust what you believe? Will I be okay? What is your source for believing that I'll be okay? Because I've never been thrown off the deck before. I've never seen you jump off the deck before. I've never seen you be thrown off the deck before. You're asking me to do something. So how do I know? So, of course, I'm good at winning arguments. And so I talked her into believing that she'd be okay. And sure enough, I threw off the deck. And once she landed in the big pillow pile of snow, she laughed and said, can I do it again? I said, no, because now you've packed the snow down and it would hurt you. But the point is, how did I know? It wasn't an opinion I had. It's because I put the snow there and I went and checked the snow and I knew. There was a truth to it. It wasn't just my opinion that everything would be okay. Okay? Oftentimes, we ask people to jump and we have no clue. We have a feeling. Well, it'll be okay. This is the way we need to think. This is the way we need to do things. But actually, you may be sending them to a pile of nails, not a pile of snow. You've never been down there. You don't know. So my question is, are we okay with having someone agree with us if maybe we're wrong? Just a thought. We're oftentimes choosing to sell someone into an option or into our opinion that we can only validate by our feelings without knowing what is truly down there. Proverbs 3, 6 and 7 says this. This is just interesting. It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It's interesting right here. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom, because he knows you have wisdom. But how many know his ways are higher than our ways? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And even though you may be, you know, a big somebody where you work, his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so it says, do not be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This is what's interesting. Why would God connect our own wisdom with turning away from evil? Because our own wisdom is derived by personal opinions and theories, which are based on earthly understanding, which can lead to thinking in the flesh rather than understanding through the Spirit. Can you hear me? I have feelings, but it's so true to me. And because it's so true to me, it must be true to God. Otherwise, I wouldn't feel this way, right? No. Actually, I don't feel like doing a lot of the things God tells me to do. I don't feel like listening to a lot of the scriptures I read. I don't feel like being nice to a lot of the people I find a way to be nice to. I don't feel like a lot of things, but my feelings have never defined truth. And here's the issue. So many people connect truth of Jesus based on a feeling in a worship song. When they don't feel that feeling next time in the worship song, they wonder if God's there, but he wasn't in the feeling. He's everywhere. We just need to understand that we live in a culture with this megaphone mentality, and everyone's got an opinion, but no one wants to qualify the opinion. They just want to talk about what they feel. Dr. Phil, tell me, how do you feel today? Mark 4, 9 says this, then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. What that tells me is you can listen and not understand. What that tells me is you can hear and know about God without understanding how to live for God. You can come into church on a normal week, go through the motions, leave without real life transformation. There's a difference between hearing and understanding. Do you understand? That's what we're trying to get to, is understanding. God gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. We should do well to use our mouth half the time we use our ears. Be slow to speak. Be quick to listen. You know, they've done all these studies on the fact that most people don't listen. Actually, in a conversation, they're thinking about what they're going to say once it's their time to speak, that they actually don't truly hear what the other person was saying in the first place. Why? Because it's me. It's about me. I want to make sure that I sound good. I want to make sure that I've been well thought out. And then what's funny is when you've overthought what you're trying to say while the other person's speaking, by the time you start saying what you're saying, you come to realize they're looking at you like, you didn't just hear a word I said. Where's this coming from? And you're realizing like, oh, I didn't want to look dumb, and now I look dumb. Oh, I didn't want to look, oh, man. Oh. So number one, can I trust what I believe? Number two, do I treasure what God says? Do I treasure what God says? Proverbs 2:1 says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Listen to what I say and treasure my commands. What that tells me is I can hear his word and still not treasure his commands. I can hear his word on a Sunday and still have zero life transformation on a Monday. Do I treasure what God says? Because it says, listen to my words and treasure what I say. Listen to my words and treasure what I say. Listen to what I say and treasure my commands. So what makes me think is, am I even listening if I'm not treasuring? If I treasure something, the Bible says that where your heart is, or where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If I treasure God's word, life change happens in my world. It says in Proverbs 4:4-6, it says this, my father taught me, take my words to heart, follow my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. How many think we are treading water in a dangerous place right now in this country? How many people, if you were just to be quite honest with yourself, you feel a little vulnerable? Verse 6 says, don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. If you feel a little vulnerable, you feel like you don't have you don't feel guarded, you don't feel protected, could it be that as a nation we turned our back on wisdom? Could it be that we turned our back on God when we pushed him out of our school systems? Could it be that we turned our back on wisdom when we didn't allow his word to be at the highest levels of our courtrooms anymore? Could it be that maybe the vulnerability we feel is because we don't have a guard at our back because our nation has turned away from wisdom? I'll just tell you this. If we'll humble ourselves, you know, the Bible talks about if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, what does it say that he'll end up doing? He'll heal their land. It's not too far gone, guys. It's not too far lost. It's just whether we're going to turn back to wisdom or not. It's whether the church is going to stand up and actually stop trying to live based on their opinions and their feelings. And when was the last time that you woke up and decided that opinion that you've been living with was going to be sacrificed at the cross? When was the last time you brought that thing that you've been thinking about, that thing that you've been feeling, that thing that has turned your thoughts, that thing where you think you're still holding Jesus' hand, but on this side of the issue, you just don't kind of agree. We're like, hey, we're on the other side of the fence, but we still love each other. And Jesus is like, this is who I am. I came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. I came to set mothers against daughters. Fathers against sons. What? No one wants to talk about that, Jesus. Why? Because that's not love. This is uncomfortable stuff for me to talk about. And it's uncomfortable stuff for us to take a minute on. But if we could just take this one hot minute to remember that we didn't mediate the deal with God for our grace covenants. Can we just take a minute and think about that? Yeah, I think God needs a hand for that. Because we didn't get to mediate the deal. It says that Jesus was the one who stood in the throne room and he mediated the deal because it was his blood that covered us, not our opinions that will cover that situation. God, you know what? I know your word says this, but I believe we live in the 21st century and you just need to get on the same page. Have you seen my thread? You know how I feel. Come on, our opinions are... I'm not asking what your opinions are. I'm asking if you're in the blood. I'm not asking, because listen, I promise you, the world is telling you that Armageddon is coming Tuesday. They're telling you it's over. The world's coming to it. Last last time I checked, there's still a God who has not surrendered his authority. We're going to be all right. It doesn't mean it may look the same. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't turn out and vote with wisdom. It doesn't mean that I'm not asking you, because when I was in this question and answer panel and we're sitting on these couches and it's looking like we're cool and calm, but we're sweating bullets because they're asking questions that are hard, that people don't want to talk about. And one of the questions said, how should a Christian's political worldview look? And they look to me because I'm the only young senior pastor. And they go, well, senior pastor, I was like, thanks. How should a Christian's political view? I'm not telling you who to vote for, but what I'm telling you is I'm not asking you to vote your values because your values are flawed. What I told these people, all these young people, over 300 young people in the room, I just said, look, when you say yes to Jesus, your identity changes. When you say yes to Jesus, all things pass away. The old has come. We're a new creation. That should have been buried in baptism. Your opinion shouldn't be rearing their ugly head. The fact of the matter is, I told all these young people, I said, our identity is that we are Christ's first. We're his. Before we have before we're connected to anything that would divide us, before we're connected to cultural things, before we're connected to color things, before we're connected to tribes and tongues, and before we're connected to our feelings or our covenants with our political party, we're Christ's. And so I told him, I said, look, all I can tell you is what I tell myself all the time. It's not the way I feel. It's about whose I am. And if I remind myself it's about whose I am, then I'm not going to even vote my own values. I'm going to vote Christ's values. And how many know there's not a clear choice? We don't have an awesome opportunity. We don't have the best of the best right here. But I do believe wisdom can speak. I do believe that as with most situations, we've always got to vote for a lesser of evils. And I'm not going to endorse somebody up here. What I'm going to tell you is Jesus for president. Can we please vote Jesus? Can we please think about not what we feel towards something based on the way that we've allowed our culture to change us? Can we actually go back to the foot of the cross and say, what is it one more time? Where are you on this, God? I'm not trying to get super touchy. I'm just trying to talk truth. What I love about this church is you don't have to believe everything we believe to belong here. We'll love you like Christ loved you. We will love all people. What I do know is that as we come into a greater relationship with Jesus, we want to know more of what he thinks. And because we're seeking his face, we no longer want to see our face in the mirror. We want to see his face in us. Right? Number three, will I lay down my own opinions? Will I lay down my own opinions? We must be a people that lays down our opinions. Our identity is found in Christ, not in the city or our ancestral heritage. It's found in the blood of Jesus, not in our cultural background, where we live or the color of our skin. Our identity is found where we are going to, not from the neighborhood you came from. Well, this is the neighborhood I came from, but we're not of this world. We live a life based on where we're going to, not from where we came from. Are we okay with this? Can I say this? We're still in his house, right? Can I still talk about the thing that he has in his word? Galatians 2:20 says this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My old self. Who I used to be. He's dead. He's been crucified. When we were buried in the water, man, I'm telling you, we're going to have some baptisms this year. We're going to have more than we've ever had. Because you need to bury that past. It's more than symbolic. It's powerful. You have to remind yourself when you see that ugly face sticking back up and trying to dig itself out of the grave. That was buried. That was crucified. My old opinions were buried with it. And so just because I have an old way of thinking doesn't mean it's supposed to stay. It means that I'm supposed to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so if I'm going to renew my mind, then that means I'm going to be hungry for wisdom. And it means that I'm going to seek his word for that wisdom. My old self has been crucified with Christ. I was talking with our youth pastors last night. They were over our house and we were talking, and it was really, really interesting as I was talking with Pastor Jordan how so much has changed in her world in the last 4 years. I asked her and she reluctantly said yes. Why don't you come on up here and tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world? Come on.
So 4 years ago was my first presidential election I was able to vote in, and I was super excited. As a new college student, I was like, yes, I finally get to have a voice. But that wasn't the case. Instead, I was just being shaped by what the world and what society was telling me my opinion should be. Now, this election, I'm actually voting exact opposite of what I was doing last time. But it's not because of the world. It's because I now have a relationship with Jesus. Mm. I now see what he wants me to believe in. I have his word to follow up on. It makes me think of Pastor Chad's message, Vessels. When I was able to take out the things that God didn't have in my life, that he didn't want for my life, and take them out, I was able to put Jesus in. And now I can see with a much clearer eyes. And it's all because of the revelation I have had of him.
So good. Come on. Come on. And I hear you used to be one of those tweeters during presidential debates, tweeting and tweeting and tweeting as far as last year. And now she told me last night, she's like, I'm voting totally opposite. And I was just like, it's because you were buried. It was because Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. My question is, if we've come to know Jesus and nothing has changed, have we come to know Jesus? I'm not trying to question your salvation. I'm trying to question your fruit. As Brent said, we're known by our fruit. That's what the word says. Guys, this is deep. This is hard. I just want you to love me. But I want God to love me more. I want you to like me. I just want God to like me more. So we're going to talk about the hard stuff. Is that all right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, it's not because Jordan was wishy-washy or was that she was reprogrammed by the religious machine. Because some people would say, well, Jordan, you haven't changed at all. They were telling you what to believe, and now you're being told what to believe. No, actually, there's a truth. And the minute we find truth, based on truth, we choose to shed our opinions. And can I tell you, you may be in here and you may be thinking, well, I don't know what you're trying to say, Chad. What I'm trying to say is you need Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. And I need more of him today than I had of him yesterday. And I need more of his wisdom today than I had yesterday. And every time I wake up and look at the world and it looks a little scary, Jesus, I need more of you today. I need wisdom on how to speak, on how to love, on how to do all these things, because I don't want to. Because Jesus, I have opinions too. And he's like, yeah, but I died for you. You're right. You're right. We are Christians. We're Christ's own, bought with a price that was paved with love's blood. If you are of Christ, then we lay our opinions at his feet and we learn wisdom. Through truth that was not conjured up by mortals from this dirt, but from a throne room in heaven. 1 John 4:17, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. The reason we do not fear judgment isn't because of our intentions. It's not because we know of a God. It's because we live like Jesus here in this world. Do I live like Jesus? Not do I know Jesus. You're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. But I'll tell you, look, people think they can believe on Jesus without needing life change, but true belief in Jesus stirs a real life change. You are known by your fruits. Now, this does not mean we will be perfect, but it does mean we will be humble and continue to pursue not perfection, but righteousness. Who makes us righteous? It's Jesus. So I will pursue him that makes me righteous. I will pursue him. So what in you needs to be sacrificed? What in you needs to be placed at Jesus' feet? What of the old you keeps rearing its ugly head? 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Can we take that and make that a personal scripture where I'm not going to be looking around. I'm going to make sure that I'm capturing my thoughts. I'm going to make sure that I obey Christ. Because my thoughts surely will not be Christ-like. Not all of them, right? Take captive your thoughts before they become your words, which create your reality. Number four. See, in this world, we want our word to be heard, but God wants his word to be heard. We have this megaphone mentality. We just want to be heard. We just want to be able to scream our feelings. We just want to be able to broadcast that thing that just annoys us so much. We want to be able to get up on our soapbox and we want to preach about our feelings. Jesus didn't die for your feelings. He died for your soul. He died for relationship. God wants his word to be heard. Too many are not hearing his word. I got to read this fast, but check out this scripture. Or scriptures. It's in Matthew 13:11-17. It says, he replied, Jesus speaking, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. And then it says, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see. And their ears cannot hear and their hearts cannot understand. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. There are those who cannot hear him. It's not that he didn't die for them. It's not that he didn't give them the opportunity to hear him. It's that they won't incline their ear to hear. It's that rather than seeing, they won't open their eyes. They will look away. We live in a world, in a society, where not everyone is going to choose to hear what you are supposed to be telling people. Not what the preacher is supposed to be telling people once you bring them here to hear it, but what you're supposed to be telling people because we're to go and make disciples. It's not my responsibility to save your friends. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to continue to raise up the saints so that they can go about the heavenly work the Father has given. The fact of the matter is our friends are living opinions. Our friends, our family, these people that need to know Jesus, how we know Jesus, we need to get over the fear of speaking truth. Everything we do has to be balanced with grace and truth. You got to do it equally if you want to actually have any results. You start beating people up with the Bible, people, you think it's UFC, Christianity. You know, you think, you know what, I'm going to make them say uncle, they're going to tap, Jesus is going to get them in an arm hold. You know, no. We love people to Christ. Right, Mike Voss? He's a big Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. The fact is, we don't make people tap for Jesus. Love always wins out. Are we trying to paraphrase God's intentions instead of learning his literal translation? Are we trying to paraphrase God's intentions instead of learning his literal translation? God, I know you. I know who you are. I've said the sinner's prayer. We're on opposite sides of the fence on some issues. But just understand, God, this is just the world I live in. No. Jesus, I want to be more like you. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for you, for your kingdom's cause, right? Am I hearing you, God? Am I seeing you, God? Now, where's my proof that it's you? Can I trust what I believe? Well, can you balance it with Scripture? Some people say, well, I pray and God doesn't speak to me. And I say, well, God's already said a lot in his Bible, and he's not someone that repeats himself very often. So honestly, there's a lot of the stuff you need to hear that you actually just need to crack your Bible open, and he'll speak to you. We just need to get back in God's word. It's got to be, there's got to be a balance in our life. I've spoken with some people about their beliefs in regards of things that are happening in this world. And because I have a scripture and a verse that directs my thinking, you know, which my way of thinking has changed from what I wanted to think or believe because of my opinion. They had to submit to the truth that came from a heavenly throne, just like Jordan. See, I see their way of thinking is still driven by personal opinions. Some of them were similar to the opinions that perhaps I or someone else may have had, but they have since laid it at the foot of the cross. I'm not saying that everyone, you know, hasn't dealt with the same things that you're thinking about. I'm just saying some may have decided to submit theirs to Jesus earlier than you. We just need to make sure that we're bowing to God's sovereign authority. And again, I don't condemn those that don't think the way I think. You're welcome to be here. You're welcome to belong here. You're welcome to find God here. You're welcome to allow him. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't convict you. But if something I say convicts you, I promise it's not me. We're just doing this thing together, and we're trying really hard to get it right, aren't we? We're trying really hard to hear God through the noise and the static and all the white noise. And I mean, we live in a world where people can't sleep without noise. They need white noise machines. You have a fan when it's 50 degrees outside. Inside, it's 50 degrees. I need the noise. We don't know how to just sit in silence, but yet that's where his voice is most of the time. And we wonder why we don't hear God. Unfortunately, the opinion issues we all have are creating many to ignorantly believe that God sides with whatever they feel, because whatever they feel, it's a deep feeling, and it must be God's reality too. God has felt what you felt, but he didn't succumb to that feeling. That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus has been in our shoes. He understands what we go through, but he didn't decide to fail, because he couldn't. Eternity was on the line for us, and so he did what we couldn't do. But man, we need to understand, God understands. So are we allowing our opinions to drown truth under our feelings and emotions? You know, there's something when I think about the story of David and Goliath. Are we siding with Goliath because he's the biggest and he screams the loudest? I think about the fact that Goliath, he walked out onto the battlefield with an opinion, but David walked out with a truth. Goliath, what did he say? He said, you come at me like this, I'm going to feed you to the birds of the field. And what did David say? He just kind of, he looked and he was like, what? You come at me with spear and sword and, you know, javelin. You come at me with all this stuff, but I come at you in the name of the Lord, the one you've been messing with, the one who's not taking it anymore. And he sent me just to make you look really bad. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 17, 24 and 25. It says this: as soon as the Israelite army saw Goliath, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? The men asked. He comes out every day, each day, to defy Israel. Kind of like the media coming out and rearing its scary head to strike us with fear, so we will run away in fright while it daily defies truth. What I love about that story, it's one of my favorite stories ever, this David and Goliath, is because you have all of these men bred for war running in fear, and you have this tiny little guy with truth, this teenager with truth, who's running to the battlefield. It says that he ran at Goliath. All you need is truth, because truth will always rise to the top. A a lot of people would say, oh, the only reason media does this stuff is for ratings. And although ratings play a big part into it, we must always realize that Jesus himself said that there is a ruler of this world. It says in John 14:29-31, it says, I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Can I tell you a lot of things we do? Oh, it's just ratings. No, there's stuff behind it. There's spiritual warfare going on that you can't see. There are things that you may be a little naive to. There are things that you may not fully understand going on. But listen, the ruler of this world has no authority over me, Jesus said. Me. He has no authority over me. So unless we are found in the he who is me, we are subject to the ruler of this world. I want to say one more time. Unless we are found in the he who is the me in that scripture, we are subject to the rule of this world. And I believe the ruler of this world knows how to harness the authorities of this world, including media, to strike fear and scatter those who are not truly anchored in the me of Jesus. All he's got to do is get you fearing. And I don't have any more time. Terry, please come back. Goliath, he had an opinion, but David had truth. And truth prevailed that day. Truth can only prevail if we're not scared to stand and speak. Don't take for granted the power and the privilege we have to know Jesus. Don't take for granted the fact that we have the ability to learn wisdom. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.